days that they're leaving to, we're way to the scripture, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verses, we'll be looking at 9 through 25 this morning. Just the idea of last week, we were talking about Abraham's faith and how Paul was, in his premise and his arguments, were showing that to the Jew and to the Gentile that saving faith only comes through Christ and Christ alone, and that no works, no, it doesn't matter about your heritage. David said even that those last verses, in fact, we'll stand to our feet and read those last verses of chapter 4, and let's go 7 and 8, and because we'll be covering the rest of the chapter in lieu of time. Let's stand to our feet. Romans chapter 4, let's read verses 7 and 8, and that'll set us up for the rest of our verses today. Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. The Word of God says, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." Let's pray. Father, for a few moments, I pray that You'll be glorified. Thank You for the privilege of Your Word. I pray You'll hide me behind the cross and let Your Word go forth for Your glory in Christ's name. And all God's people said, you may be seated. We're going to be thinking about the nature of Abraham's faith. Sandy and I have had the privilege to travel and on mission trips and go to different places around the world. And we've seen a lot of fascinating things. We've seen a lot of good things, met a lot of good people. I mean, just tremendous work of the Lord to see people that love Jesus and the things. But we've also seen some terrible things. We've seen some things that just hurt your heart. The last time that we were in El Salvador, we got there, and man, they were shooting off fireworks. I told you just before how redneck I am. I said, man, they're shooting doves. It sounded like a dove shoot. Boom, 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 boom. Wasn't seeing any, you know, nothing blow up, and it's like, man, are they shooting doves? Is it dove season down here in El Salvador? Redneck out of place, right? But they were celebrating. What it was celebrating was the time of the Virgin of Guadalupe. And what it was the Virgin Mary appeared in Guadalupe. And so they celebrate that time. And as we were getting ready to go out to church one evening, there was a whole mass crowd in the street. I mean, you couldn't even get out. And you just had to watch them go by. And it looked like a float is what it looked like, a Christmas float. And they were pulling that thing through town, and it had like a picture of Mary, and they made her in. I mean, it was some kind of statue, and people were just weeping, walking behind it, and crying, and begging, and all that. And I thought it was just so sad. We were getting ready to go to church, you know, and I was thinking how they had placed in their faith and their hopes in the wrong thing, you know. When we were in Moldova and also in Romania in the Eastern Orthodox Church, which are very ornate, beautiful churches to go in. The ceilings will be painted. I mean, it's just absolutely breathtaking. But they also have pictures of the saints, and I'd watch people crawl in on their knees till their knees bled just to be able to go up and kiss a picture of a saint. Saw one woman just down on her knees just wiping and washing the ground, and it's like, that's so sad. They're putting their faith in a skewed thing. I mean, we've seen the Hindu temples. We've seen the Buddhist shrines. I've actually even seen voodoo Christianity in Haiti. You tell me how that works. Where people just syncretize everything and throw it into a big lump and say, this is what we believe in. And what it is, it's just man trying to find and to appease his way into a right relationship with God. People are convinced they can make themselves right with God if they go through a ritual or a routine. If they do these certain things. Now, again, we're easy to throw stones, but think about that. We're not so far from that our own selves in that we think, hey, if we go to church and we don't do this or we do these things, that makes us right with God. I want you to know something. The only thing that makes us right is a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning. I'll never quit saying that, okay? But the natural man, it wants to work. He wants to earn his way into this right relationship with God. And so we'll see that as Paul gets to chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Romans, he's dealing with this very thing. He's dealing with that mindset. Remember the church, the Jews and the Gentile, this new church, this new organism that God had put together to grow, and he had put Gentile and Jew, and so he's working through these these processes, these difficulties, these understandings that both of them would have as they come together. And last week he used Abraham. He's going to use him again this week as his faith. And how was it that Abraham, the father of the Jews, and yet we'll see also the father of the Gentiles, all those that believe, how it was and what kind of faith that he has. And so I want us to keep on with that. He's convinced and he's showing this faith of Abraham and how that this morning he'll continue on this nature of Abraham's faith. And I want us to look at Romans 4, 9 through 15, or the 9 through 25. And I want us to think about three points of the nature of Abraham's faith. And the first is the obstacles to his faith. There's some obstacles that the Jew and the Gentile had to overcome. And so listen to verses 9 through 15. It says, Does the blessedness that comes upon the circumcised only, or upon the circumcised also, or uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted him? While he was a circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who are not only of the circumcision, but also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For there is no law, or where there is no law, there is no transgression. So I want us to think about these obstacles this morning to Abraham's faith, or the understanding of his faith. The righteousness God acquires apart from this outward attainment. Why is it that we're so natured to work or to earn this righteousness that God says it can't be earned? And I want you to think, he'll mention two stumbling blocks, especially to the Jewish believers, and the first is circumcision when he was looking at 9 through 12. And Paul anticipated his question of his Jewish believers. He anticipated the question that if Abraham was justified by faith alone, which Paul has already brought out, why did God demand circumcision of Abraham and all his descendants? Then why was this outward sign? He said, why was that? What was the purpose of that? And I want you to understand that was straight to the heart of the Jewish belief. The rabbis taught that all circumcised Jewish men would go to heaven. That's what they taught. That, so it was this mark. So it's almost to them like eternal security. It was this outward, this was a sign, we're children of the covenant, so we're all in. It didn't make a matter while your life lived. It didn't matter what you believed. It was at this outward sign. I want to know that we do that with baptism, by the way. And you'll see that. What is baptism when we go through the baptismal waters? It's an outward sign of an inward thing that's happened to us. Circumcision was the same way with them. They were resting upon this outward sign. And so just like the false religions I mentioned that Sandy and I had saw, they were trying to attain. They were trying to make themselves right by God by crawling on your knees. How sad. I've seen the Hindus pierce herself and stick big old, you've probably seen that before, where they stick the big needles through their lips. And I mean, it's crazy, through their jaws. They like to appease this God. I mean, that's sad that man is trying to work his way. And so Paul is tearing down the argument in verse 11 where he declares that Abraham was righteous before he was ever went through the rite of circumcision. In fact, it was 14 years from Genesis 15 to Genesis 17. So he's saying, hey, you got to look back and look at your time frame. He said, before that ever happened, Abraham was already declared righteous. He's going to tear down what they believe. And he says, hey, the faith is not this outward sign that made him in right standing. It was his belief that we will see in God that made him right. And that was where his righteousness came from. And I want you to, he is the father of the Jews and the Gentiles, because that reckoned righteousness from believing is the faith that God desires for the Jew and the Gentile, and for us this morning, by the way. So he's mentioned circumcision, but the next thing is the law, verses 13 and 15. Paul's second point of this passage is that Abraham not only was justified he wasn't justified by the rite of circumcision, but also he wasn't justified by keeping the law. We know when we went through Matthew, our study on the Sermon of the Mount, you remember as we went through and walked through that 5 through 7 of Matthew, and Jesus was constantly, who was it that he was speaking to? The Pharisees. The ones that, they were the upper elite. They were the religious crowd of the Jews. They kept the law. And that they thought that's what made them right with God. And Jesus just tore down that whole belief. And so Paul's telling them, listen, the Mosaic law, which was in the almost 500 years before it would ever come, they knew, the Jews realized that Abraham wasn't right by the law. Why? The law wasn't even given yet. And yet, so he's trying to let them know it's not by this attainment of these things, keeping the law or these marks or these rituals. Every Jew knew that in their heart. It wasn't through an outward ceremony or standard of conduct. It was believing in the promise of God. Verse 13 shows us that. And in 14, I love when he says, it says, for if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. You know what he's saying? He's saying if you could be made right with God by following the law, he's saying then we don't need faith. Do you understand that? It's that simple. That's what he's saying. We don't need faith. We just, all we have to do is march like cookie cutters. Hello. Just go, hey, look, we just march by the law. We're made right with God. Everybody's right. That's what he's saying. He says, made void, 14, he's telling them. The more a person seeks to nullify or justify themselves by keeping the law, the more he's proved the inability to do it because of their sinfulness. Why was the law then? It said it was a tutor. It was to point us. It was a teacher to show us our transgressions. The law was given that we could say, you know what? We need a Savior. It's to point us to Jesus Christ. It was never given to, all right, if, as a ritual or a routine that if we kept, we'd be in right standing with God. And that is what the Pharisees and the Jews had made. And Paul's tearing that down. He's showing, hey, the law exposes man's sinfulness. The law was to lead us and to point us to Christ. These were obstacles. What is our obstacles here this morning? What is it that's in our life? What is it that we, in the back of our mind, say, well, if we do this, we do that, we do this, or we don't do this, that's what makes us right with God. That's how we're natured, by the way, and that's a sinful nature that was always in us. And I want you to know it's not in the do's and don'ts of your life that makes you in right standing with God, but it's in your relationship through Jesus Christ. And when we get that right, He takes care of the do's and don'ts, don't He? That's an amazing thing. Before I knew Christ, you know what I did? What I wanted to do anytime I wanted to do it. Oh, in the back of my mind, I thought, you know, I need to quit. This is not right, exactly right. Even the natural man knows what is wrong is. But when I got right with Jesus Christ, you know what He did? He took care of that mess. I'll never forget. I'll never forget when I became a new creature in Christ. When I even thought about doing things that I had done before Christ, I thought, will that be all right? You know what you'll do? You'll try to rationalize your sin. You'll try to rationalize, what can I get by with? What is it that I can do that I can still be a Christian? That's what we do if we're honest. And I was doing that. I was in that process as a young Christian thinking, well, I can do this, I can do that. Guess what? Couldn't do it no more. Why? Something else had moved in. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. And He wore me out. I'm so glad. Took me near that spiritual woodshed. I've told you about that. I had the path wore out. You ever seen a path that just wore out? Somebody's walking it all the time? That's what my spiritual woodshed path looks like. Every hickory going down through there has been pulled off. And He whooped me. Look, boom. I am so thankful for that, okay? Why? Because it says, every son He chastises and He corrects. If you're a son or a daughter, you know what that spiritual path looks like. And He doesn't allow us to live a life of do's and don'ts. In fact, He gets us in the right relationship and He takes care of the do's and don'ts. And Paul's letting them know, and that's the obstacles to our faith. What are you doing? What are the obstacles to our faith this morning? But not only that, I want you to see the object of his faith, 17 through 20. And look what the Word of God says. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope, believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, she was 90 by the way. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. I want you to see the object of Abraham's faith was not what he did, it was the God that made the promise to him. It's that simple when we get into 17. It's God. This is the, hey, and by the way, this morning, this is the most important thing of all. What is the object of your faith? What is that which we believe? Many times it's directed, as we talked about, at the wrong thing, as a float going down a street, as a picture of a saint. I have faith this morning in different things. I have faith in my truck. It's a Chevrolet. I know that Sam has Fords and stuff. He probably don't have as much faith as I do. I have faith that when I put the key in it and turn it on, it's going to crank. I have faith in that. Listen, I believe that, hey, as long as somebody went out there and loosened all the lug nuts off of it, I can go down the road and the wheels not fall off. It's faith. Now listen to this. I have faith that when I climb up, Dusty's up here, so glad to have him, and we're hunting right now. We're deer season, bow hunting. That's what we do. That's what we enjoy doing together. That's our hobby. I have faith, and I was thinking about this yesterday when I'm climbing up that tree. And I'm thinking, I have faith that this tree stand is going to hold me. It's not going to break and me fall out. Look, I got that scar on face. Remember, I'm thinking, I don't have as much faith as I did before. I got safety harnesses on. Listen, I got safety harnesses on and everything, but I have faith that that thing, I'm up there sometimes 20, 25 foot, and I have faith that I'm up there stepping around, you know, and getting out, and I'm thinking, this thing's going to hold. That's faith. That's faith in believing in things. You have faith every time you go down the road past another car that it's not going to swerve over, something break, and come over into your lane. We have so many times that we miss God. The truth is, we need to think about and bring these truths and the things that we believe. Let it come down right here this morning and understand that if we have faith in God, we believe in God. Not the things that he does, all these things which are great things, but who he is and the promises that he makes. Goodness, we'll have the object of our faith makes all the difference in the world. And it wasn't the strength, Abraham's strength. It was his belief in the God that he believed in. It was the promise of God in his life. And please don't miss two concepts in verse 17. We see a little picture, microcosm, but huge, immense picture of his faith in verse 17 when he says, who gives life to the dead. Abraham, this is part of his faith that he believed, this God that had made the promise. I want you to know something. Up to this time, there's no record of any resurrection that's went on, okay? There's no record of that. No scripture, no reference, you know, that he could go back to, but yet he believed God could raise the dead. Listen, we know in Hebrews that the only way that he was able to take Isaac, when God said take Isaac up on the mountain, that he makes a statement in Hebrews that he believed that God had promised that through Isaac all this would happen, that God would raise him from the dead. He believed that. Not to mention maybe his own body. He's 100 years old. And God's made a promise that you're going to have so many kids, look, it's like the sand of the seashore and the stars of the sky at 100, hello. That's resurrected. Is it not physical resurrection? Not to mention, Sarah's 90 years old, guys. 90 years old. She's went past the age of childbearing. Both of them are. And yet he believes that God can do anything. He believes that. Not only that, the second concept. Who calls those things which do not exist as though they did. You say, what's he saying there? He believed he created it all. Only God. Listen, ex nihilo. Out of nothing. God can create anything. We have to have materials. All this as you see. Yes, man, and God helped us create it, but you've got to have wood. You've got to have nails. You've got to have cement. God can say, let there be, and it was. That's tremendous faith, folks. Man, that he brings life to the dead, that he creates out of nothing, that's God. So you know what you can do? You can look at it and say, well, I'm 100 years old. I can't have kids. You're right, Abraham. You can't on your own. Sarah can't have them. But what can God do? He can bring life to the dead, and he can create out of nothing. That's the God that he's serving. And so we see this picture here. And Abraham's perception of God as his object of faith was immense. Look at 18 through 20 and we'll flesh this out. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith. Was Abraham a man? You better believe. He was a man just like the rest of us. And you know what we'll do? Men and women, we rationalize situations. Do we not? You say, what are you talking about? Listen, it's a biological impossibility to have kids at 100 years old and 90, men and women. That's a biological impossibility. We'll rationalize. You know what we want to do? We want to bring God to fit down into science. Oh, come on! I'll guarantee there's some of you out there. If it don't fit into science and he needs to make it fit this way, listen, God is greater than science. He's greater than all the natural things, natural laws that we have. Why? He's God. He created it all out of nothing. He does it. He's not confined by the things that we are confined for. And it shows that Abraham had this rationalization that he believed God, the very promise. You know what? The very promise was too good to be true even, was it? You ever had a too good to be promise? You said, well, if it's too good, you know it's not probably real. It's not true. That's how we do, don't we? It's never, if it's too good to be true, you know it's probably not true. Think about it. Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Oh, man, your descendants. How good a promise would that be? Is it too good when you're standing there 100 years old and your wife's 90 thinking, we're going to have that many kids? Huh? Or you're going to inherit this land when you don't have a patch of land. All he had was a cave that he could bury somebody, and that's all he ended up having. You don't have any land, but he said, man, you're going to inherit this great land. The impossibility. I tell you what, he's the God of the impossible. Okay, this morning, don't you tell him he can't when he can. You believe God. Abraham believed him. He didn't rationalize it to the point that he took God right out of it. But remember, the object of his faith was not the promise, but the one who gave the promise. And what did he say? All the world would be blessed through Abraham, Genesis 12. He gave that Abraham right at the beginning when he called him out. He believed that with all his heart. And I look at verse 20, and he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Now listen, we know what Abraham did. Again, he's a man. Did Abraham lie? Yeah, he lied about Sarah being his sister because he was afraid the Pharaoh was going to kill him. He's a man. He's not perfect. It wasn't that Abraham was this perfect guy and that's what made him right with God. How about this one? He scratches his head on Sarah saying, you know, this promise ain't come yet. Maybe we ought to have our kid through Hagar, your handmaiden. Maybe that's what God's doing. We're rationalizing again. Maybe this is what God's doing. How many times? How many of us have done that? Maybe this is what God's doing and we head down a path he didn't even want us to go down. So he's a man. Please don't. I don't want to paint Abraham to be anything else, but he's a fallen man like the rest of us, and he's rationalizing. He's making bad mistakes, but he believed God's promise. He believed the promise. He believed. And many, I'm going to tell you, many will say today that faith and fact does not go together. I disagree. In fact, I think the greatest faith that we have is in the fact of the Scripture and the promises of the Scripture. And when I read this Scripture, I see a God that can do anything. And He can fix any situation. And He can save anybody. And we'll rationalize Him right out of the equation if we're not careful. That's the God that we serve. He's the God of the promise. And we can believe in here. And look at the outcome of this faith, and that's our last point, the objectives of his faith. And in verses 20b through 25, and look what the Word of God says. It says, but was strengthened in faith, this is 25b, or 20b, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him, again, we've heard this again, therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. The objectives of Abraham's faith were what? I want you to look at 20b, to glorify God. To glorify God. That's what our whole objective is and why Christ saves us. It's not just, hey, to make it, oh, we're going to heaven and we got this get out of hell free card. It's for us to glorify Him. And in our Sunday school lesson today is, how do we live that out? How do we flesh that out? How does the world, listen, the world, we turn on Charlotte. What does Charlotte need? It needs the gospel. It needs the gospel. It doesn't need a political figure. It needs the figure of Jesus Christ pronounced upon it and people living out the gospel in front of other people. We're the ones that are so weak and anemic. We need to live the gospel out and be proud to live the gospel with love. To what? To do what? To glorify God, strengthen in faith, giving glory to God. Our measure of faith is the measure of how we will glorify God. Our measure of faith is how we'll glorify God. I want you to look at verses 21. It's one of the greatest statements of faith in all Scripture. It's the essence of faith. What does it say? And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. The essence of faith is believing what God said. Period. He believed, being fully convinced. If we're truthful, let's be truthful today. If we're truthful and we bring in the back of our mind, oh, we believe God can do anything. But we'll say, but he won't. Say, what do you mean? We'll say he won't. We rationalize him out of it. Oh, he can do anything. I believe he can do anything, but I don't know if he's going to work in my situation. I just don't think he cares. Oh, we'd never maybe verbalize that, but that's how we live. You say, how do I know that? Check your worry list. Check your worry list this morning. How long's your worry list? Is God not able? Is God not able to take care of your worry list today? We live so worried and uptight and concerned and all that, you know, because the truth of the matter be known in the back of our minds, oh, God can do anything, but can he really for you? Check your worry list this morning. It proves out your faith, where you stand with God. That's an indicator. Can God handle your worry list today? Something for you to ask. I promise you, your life plays that one out, the answer to that question. You can say, oh, yes, he will, but how much are you worried? And not only that, listen, it's to glorify God, but also, look, it brings faith to life, verse 22. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is 430 years plus before the law. It's 14 years before Abraham was ever circumcised. God knew Paul would be using this as an example to the Roman church, to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He also knew, for that matter, that today, the September 25th, 2016, he'd be using it for an example and encouragement to us at South Fork Baptist Church, downtown Todd. That's right. He knew this. He knew that we needed these things. He knows right where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He knows your problems. Guess what? It's not too big. It was accounted. You remember that term I told you last week? Paid in full. Paid in full. All your bills. Can you imagine? Like I said, I'd love to see you. I'd like to be you'd love to see me, okay? Go out there to the post office. Open that thing up. Oh, I wonder what we got today. Look, you pull it out, and there's this big letter, and you say, what the world is that? You open that thing up, and say, oh, it's probably another bill. Open that thing up, you know what it says? I've taken care of all your financial needs. Everything is paid. Can you, listen, I dare say there'd be some whooping and hollering going on in the post office or out at the mailbox, however you receive your mail. Paid in full, accounted as righteousness. Listen. God said, listen, you were over here in the red. I'm going to put you over in the black column. Paid in full. He said he accounted that righteous because Abraham believed not by what he did on the outside, but what he believed on the inside, the promises of God. You know, he said, paid in full. Paid in full. Accounted to him as righteousness. He imputed that. Listen, you know what that means? That means he took Abraham's sin and he placed Christ's righteousness over it. That's what he did to you, by the way, if you got saved. You need to live like that, by the way, sometimes. We need to live that, but we have a righteousness that's been applied to our life, our dirty black sin. You know what God, what Satan likes to do? He likes to remind me of it all the time. I don't know about you. I've got enough garbage in my past, he can just bring it up anytime. Anytime. And he likes to remind, especially, oh, Preacher Dave, you mean your preacher could do something like that? Yes, in my past I did without Christ. And he wants to remind me of it. You know what I just say? Covered by the blood. It's covered. Listen, if we can get a hold of that, that's better than all your bills ever being paid off. Better. It's imputed righteousness. He took our sin, imputed righteousness to your account. You are saved to the uttermost, my friend. And if you have Christ, that means a billion years from now, we'll be together in heaven with Him because of that imputed righteousness. If you don't have that, how in the world would you turn that down? Huh? How would you turn down somebody saying, I'll pay all your bills off? Nah, I don't need that. I work hard for my money. I earn everything I got. Is that what you're going to do to God when He says, listen, I'll pay your sin debt. I'll pay it off. You just come. Quit trying to figure it out. Quit trying to work your way to me and just lay it down at my feet. I'll pay that bill. Praise God. I can't get over it. It keeps coming back. Why? Paid in full. I don't know about you, but I remember what it was to be lost. I hope I never forget. Hope I never forget. I think some of us get over it, to be honest with you. We just get over it. Listen, and he goes on. He doesn't stop right there. But he shows it brought true saving faith into the life for Abraham and his descendants, which includes us this morning. Look what verses 24 to 25. What do we believe? But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in Him who what? Raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and who was raised because of our justification. And he's saying, you know what? It's the same faith. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you and your sins? Do you believe that He was placed in a borrowed tomb, but He resurrected on the third day? And if we have received that, you're forgiven for your sin and repent and turn to Him? He's saying, hey, that's what we are to believe. That is the objective of this faith, a relationship with Him. We are essentially believing what Abraham believed. He believed in a God that could. We believe in a God that did. Same salvation. Don't ever scratch your head and say, I wonder how did the Old Testament people get saved? We broke that down the last couple Sundays. They were saved the same way you are, in a belief of the Christ that was coming. And we believe in the Christ that came and is coming again. Same faith. Same faith. I love that. We're back to verse 17. Remember, who gives life to the dead? Who gives life to the dead? When we come into a saving knowledge of Christ, we go from life, or from death to life, from darkness to light. He can resurrect anybody here this morning that's in sin, that has never given it over to Him. I don't care what you've done. And you know who you are. You know, if you're playing games, here's the deal. You might have come up to the altar. You might have been baptized a half a dozen times. None of that makes you right with God. You know, if the Holy Spirit of God has moved into your life, the Creator and Sustainer, He who gives life to the dead. I promise you, you die and you come back to life, who's going to know it? Yes, we all are. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, I sure hope so. I sure hope I'm good enough. Wrong answer. You can trust the promises of God. And He says, whosoever will, let him come. I will in no wise cast out. And hey, if you're saved, how about that worry list this morning? Cast all your cares upon Him, because why? He cares for you. You say, well, I,
believe in Jesus. I've got this relationship with Him, but look how much you worry and look how long your list is. That means we're weak and anemic and not living out faith in a world that desperately needs to see faith lived out. Applications, and we'll be done. What are the obstacles in your life that keep you from being all in? Now, let's talk about all in. I don't see a lot of all in anymore, just to be honest with you. I see people that take the things of God, I can give or take. I could be here any given time if I want to, if it lines up convenient with my schedule. I'm just a consumer. I don't understand the body. I don't understand that God made it a body, and it's, if this hand doesn't show up, then how good am I? Or how about this arm? How about this leg? How good am I? Look, I'm going to hop around and preach. And yet we live in this day all in. It's just like we just give and take whatever we want to do. We consume. Why? Because we're more like American Dream than God, what God wants for us. We consume and do whatever we want to. What's the obstacles in your life to keep you from being all in? There's nothing. Nothing in this world greater than your life given over to Jesus Christ and serving Him completely. You want to have the reason most of us are not fulfilled this morning is because we're not all in. We just give Him what's left over. What, you know, what we want to. This is, you know, this God thing's all right on Sundays. But, you know, through the week, I ain't got time for it. What's the obstacles that's keeping you from being all in? Number two, is God the object of your faith? What are you putting your faith in? What are you putting your faith in? If it's God, He'll get you through anything. He'll get you through anything. If you're putting your faith in what you do, your performance, do's and don'ts, it'll let you down every time. Every time. Why? Because I got the Holy Spirit of God in me, but I just wrapped around with this sarcognosis flesh. I hate my fallenness sometimes. You know, I ever hate fallenness? Being in a lost world where everything's fallen, even my own sinfulness is constantly reminding me of how sinful that I am. I'll be glad when this body's glorified. I don't know about you. Get rid of fallenness. What is it? Is God the object of your faith? And lastly, Linda, come on and play, if you will. How long is your worry list this morning? How long is your worry list? What is it that maybe you drug in here today that you're anxious about? You need to just lay it down and say, you know what? God got this. Oh, I know He can do it, preacher, but will He? How many of us have lost family members that we prayed? We kind of just give up. You know, I don't think they'll ever get saved. Is that the God that we see in Scripture? Give up, don't we? It's because we really don't believe that God can do it. It comes down to it. Let's stand to our feet. What is it that the Lord said to you today? If you do not have a relationship with Christ, please don't put that off any longer. And just come forward and say, you know what? I'm going to quit trying to figure this thing out. I'm going to lay it down at His feet this morning. I'm driving my spiritual state. This is the day that I'm giving it up. I'm living for the Lord. And as soon as she starts singing, just come forward. What about your worry list? You know what? I'm going to bring that worry list. I'm going to lay it down on the altar of God this morning. And I'm not going to take it up no more. I'm just going to lay it down. How about the obstacles to being all in? Are you all in today? Your life plays that out. Are you all in for the things of God? What is it that the Lord's wanting you to respond to in obedience this morning? Brittany.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die?
What's the Lord saying to you today? Obedience. Better than sacrifice any day. What about your worry list?
At the cross,
lay it down today. Maybe you realize, you know what? I've given up. I've given up, and I need to go back and say, Lord, I'm not giving up on You. You can save that one. You can save that person.
Was it for crimes that I
People are coming. How about you? Going to play while these others are finishing up. Listen, if maybe walking an aisle, you know that God's wanting to save you. You can get saved right where you're at. Anybody can. All you have to do is ask the Lord to forgive you, receive God's righteousness into your life for your sins, and repent, turn to Him. You get saved right where you're at. But I want you to know something. You'll let somebody know. You won't be ashamed when Christ does that. And so if you've received Christ where you're at, please let me know, and we'll celebrate that with you, and I'll help you. Walk. I want to help any of you in your spiritual walk. I want you to draw close to Christ. I want us to grow in our grace and knowledge of Him. I love you. Listen, remember tonight, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock for choir practice, and then 6 o'clock we'll be having food, fellowship, and Bible study. And so Lee and Cherry will be taking 2:30 be taking the youth down to Ebenezer. And so keep the youth in your prayers. They go down and live out loud. But I want you to know I love you. Any way that I can